B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Kuf Hey. We're going to start on the second line of the Omid. Says the Gemara, Kosav ois achas noitrikin. If somebody writes a single letter, which is an abbreviation, Rashi says he writes a letter and then puts a dot, a mark, a hyphen, something to show that he doesn't mean just the letter, but the letter actually means a word. Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseir Machayev, Chachomim Poitrim, it was Machloikas Tanoim in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yochanan Bishum Rabbi Yosi ben Zimra, Minayin Leloshen Neutrikun Min HaTorah. This has nothing to do with Hilchas Shabbos, but the concept of an abbreviation, do we find words in the Torah that are actually serve as an abbreviation to something? Shenemar, he says he's going to bring a posuk. Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, Ki av hamoin goyim nesaticho. Hashem said, I'm going to make you a father to a multitude of nations. So the word av hamoin, which is six letters, Aleph Beis is Av, Hey Mem Vov Nun is Hamoin, and that actually is an abbreviation of six concepts. Av, the Aleph is Av Nesaticho L'Umois, I'll make you a father to the nations. Beis, Bochur Nesaticho L'Umois, you will be chosen to the nations, amongst the nations. Hamoin, the word Hamoin, so the Hey, as we've seen on Daf Kuf Dalad, is sometimes interchanged with a Ches. So it's Choviv Nesaticha B'Umais, you will be beloved to the nations. Melech Nesaticha L'Umais, you will be a king to the nations. Vosik Nesaticha L'Umais, you will be very distinguished amongst the nations. Nemon Nesaticha L'Umais, and you will be trusted to the nations. That's Av Hamoin. So you see in the Torah, six letters that actually mean six words. Rabbi Yochanan, Didei Omar. Rabbi Yochanan himself said, that was Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Yosi ben Zimra. Rabbi Yochanan himself brought another example. Omar, it says in the Pasuk, Onoichi. We know that the Lucha started with, Onoichi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem, I took you out of Mitzrayim, etc. What does the word Onoichi stand for? It's four letters, an abbreviation to four words. So the Gemara says, Ano Nafshi, I, myself, Ksivas Yehovis, I wrote and I gave over to you. Rabbonon Omri, the Rabbonon all say that the same word Onoichi is an abbreviation, but differently. Amira Ne'imo Ksiva Yehovis, a very pleasant statement referring to the Torah was written and given to Klal Yisrael. Ikedomra, others say Onoichi Lemafrea. You can actually read the letters. The word Onoichi is actually an abbreviation in reverse, starting with the Yud at the end. Yehiva Ksiva Ne'emonim Omereo. It was given in writing, and its statements are reliable, referring to the Torah. Debei Reb Nosson Omri. Debei Reb Nosson and the Beis Medrash of Reb Nosson, they found another posuk that is an abbreviation, and that's the posuk regarding the donkey of Bilam. It says that the donkey of Bilam, it stopped on the way, it squashed his leg against the wall, it deviated from the journey, and he said, Hine anoichi yotzasi lesaton ki yorat haderech lenegdi. The Malach was telling Bilam, why are you hitting your donkey? I was the one that was Yorat. I was the one that hastened Haderech Lenegdi. I hastened, means he was claiming to him, why are you opposing me? The Malach was saying in Hashem's name, he was saying, why are you running? Why are you hasting towards going to curse Klal Yisrael when it's opposing? You know that I, Hashem, don't want you to go and curse Klal Yisrael. So the word Yorat is actually an explanation to Bilam as to what was going on with his donkey. Yud Reish Tes. Yor'o, first it was afraid, and the Mefarshim explained that the donkey had a natural instinct. He felt something wasn't right here. Afterwards, he saw the angel, he saw the Malach, and then Notasa, he turned aside because he was afraid of going face to face with the Malach. Continues the Gemara, Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, in the Beis HaMedrash of Rabbi Shmuel they learnt, Carmel, regarding the Korban Oimer that they would bring on the second day of Pesach, it was made of barley flour, what type of kernels should they use? So the Pasuk says that Kisakriv Minchas Bikurim Lashem Oviv Kolui Boish Geres Karmel Takrivas Minchas Bikurecha. It should be caramel, which caramel stands for kar moli. A very full, it means the literal translation is a full pillow. It actually means that the shell of the barley kernels should be full. It should be very, very ripe. So there you see the word caramel is an abbreviation for two words. Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov Omar, V'hu kilelani klolo nimretzes. David HaMelech said about Shimi ben Geiri that he cursed me a klolo nimretzes, an explicit curse. The word nimretzes is an abbreviation for five things that Shimi ben Geira was cursing David HaMelech for or about. Noitrikon, it's an abbreviation of Noyof, the Nun is Noyof, an adulterer. Who? Mem Moyovihu, he comes from Moyov. Reitzeachu, he's a murderer. Tzoyrerhu, an enemy. Te'evahu, an abomination. Reb Nachman Vayitzchok brings another source for abbreviations in Psukim, that the Pasuk says, Ma nedabir uma nitztadok. What can I say and how can I, you know, make myself righteous? And there it was talking about that Yehuda was telling Yosef, or who was then the king of Mitzrayim, or was the second in command in Mitzrayim, who caught the brothers with the golden goblet belonging to the royal, to the palace, and they accused the Shvatim of stealing it. And Yehuda says, Man dabir man tzadok, what can I say? What can I say? So the Gemara says the word nitztadok means that Yehuda was saying as follows, Nun, nechoinim anachnu, we are upright people. Tzadikim anachnu, we are righteous people. Tahirim anachnu, we are pure people. Deich dochim anachnu, we are clean and innocent people. Kedoshim anachnu, we are holy people. And that's the message Yehuda was giving Yosef, we are not thieves, we didn't steal this goblet. Something else happened, and we know what happened. We know that Yosef had the goblet put into their bags in order to arrange for the whole scene that was going to unfold. Continues the Gemara. Says the next Mishnah, HaKosev Shtei Oisiyos B'Shtei Ha'alomis. If somebody writes two letters, and we know to be chayiv on Shabbos for Kosev, you have to write two letters. He wrote two letters B'Shtei Ha'alomis in two lapses of unawareness. He wrote one letter, and then he became aware that he shouldn't have done it, it was Asa, and then he again forgot either that it was Shabbos, or he forgot it was Asa to write, and he wrote the second letter. Achas Shachris, v'achas Beinu Arbaim. One letter he wrote in the morning, the other in the afternoon. And Rashi explains that we can assume that if he wrote one letter in the morning and one in the afternoon, that he had enough time, in all that time, to become aware that you're not allowed to write, and that it's Shabbos. And we can assume that there was a yediya in between, and therefore writing one letter in the morning and one in the afternoon is considered a letter with shtei ha'alomos in two lapses of unawareness. Reb Gamliel mechayev. Reb Gamliel says he's chayev because he wrote two letters. Even though we know that if there's an awareness between one time you do an aveira and another time you do an aveira, you have to bring two chatois, but that's only if you did a whole aveira before you became aware. If you just did half an aveira before you became aware, then the awareness does not break away the second time you did half an aveira from the first time, and he's going to be chayev. The chachomim poitrim, the chachomim say that he's potur. But my komiflegi, what's the nekuda of their machlekes? Reb Gamliel sovar ein yedia lechatzi shiur, that knowledge, awareness, when he's only done half an avera, is not considered a yedia, which is mechalek, which means that as far as korban chatos is concerned, there's a new reason for a chatos, and you cannot connect the two. Rabbanon sovri, yesh yedia lechatzi shiur, that that is, even though you only did half the Naveira, half the Melacha before, it's considered that you'll become aware, and then afterwards, if you do the Naveira again, we start again, and since at each end, at each side of each lapse of unawareness, he only did half the Naveira, therefore he's not going to be Chayev a Chatos. And we've actually seen this in the Gemara before, and it should be self-understood. Hadron Alocha Boina, B'Siyata D'Shmaya, we finished learning Perek HaBoina, and we're going to right away start learning Perek Reb Eliezer. Says the Mishnah, Rebbe Eliezer Omer is actually called Perek Ha'oireg, weaving. Rebbe Eliezer Omer, Rebbe Eliezer says, Ha'oireg Shloisha Chutin Bitchilo. If you're starting a weaving project, you're starting to weave a fabric, then you have to weave three threads, and then, in order for it to be called that you've done a significant melacha of weaving, to be chayev. V'achas al ha'orig, chayev. If you already have a woven fabric and you add just one thread, that's then chayev. Since you already have the fabric, then adding the thread is already significant, and therefore you chayev even for just one thread. That's the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer. V'chachomim oimrim. The Chachomim say, Bein b'tchilo, bein b'soif, irrespective of whether you're starting a new weaving project or whether you are continuing an existing project, shi'uroi shtei chutim, then the amount of threads you have to weave in order to be chayev on Shabbos is two threads. Continues the Gemara. Ha'oise shtei botei nirin. If somebody sets two botei nirin, botei nirin are called the heddle eyes. And just so we a brief introduction, just so we should understand a little bit of what's going on here. And the truth is, it's not so easy to understand because we don't really know exactly what the loom in the time of the Gemara looked like. But we know more or less from the different Gemaras we've learned, we get an idea. There's two different types of threads. There are the warp threads, which we could call the vertical threads, and those are facing the person vertically. And you could have hundreds of these threads. And then you have the weft, which is the threads going horizontally, which are woven in and out the warp threads. Now, if you had 100 warp threads and you had to go up and down and up and down and up and down, it would be painstakingly complicated to get any weaving done. So how did they take care of this? So they had a type of structure. And as time moved on in history, these structures became more sophisticated. But they had a structure where they would have a type of frame, and from the frame was hanging some threads. At the end of each thread, or within each thread, there was a loop. And they would thread through, in the loops of this frame, they would thread through every second warp thread. Which means number one, number three, number five, number seven, each would have their own hole hanging down, going through the heddle eye of one of these threads on this frame. And now, if you lifted up this frame, what you're actually doing is in one go, you're going to be lifting up all those many, many odd threads. And now, if you lift them all up, you can easily just pass along between the odd and even threads, pass along the weft. And that was the weft thread. It was on a reel of thread and on a shuttle, and they would pass that shuttle backwards and forwards. But once you've passed it through once, you now want the even threads to go up and the odd threads to go down. So they had another frame also with heddle eyes, and in each eye was one of the even threads. Thread number two, number four, number six, etc. And now, often by use of pedals, they would go up and down. 1 foot down, 1 foot up, means that one of the frames are up, possibly all the odd threads are up, all the even threads are down. Now you can pass through the weft. And then you change over, you put the foot down the other side, and now the other threads are even. And then you could go backwards, forwards, up and down, and reasonably comfortably weave the fabric. Now, setting two of these botei nirin, putting the threads, the warp threads, through two of these heddle eyes, that is called a melocha, and it's osa. Ha'oise shtei botei nirin, benirin, bekirus, benapo, bekaboro, ubesiv. In any of these settings, chayev is going to be chayev on Shabbos. And the Gemara is going to explain these a little bit more at length. Continues the Mishnah. We know that one of the melachos is sewing. Somebody who sews two stitches on Shabbos is chayev. Vakirea almanos litfer based firois. Even though tearing on its own is destructive, and doing a melacha that's destructive is not chayev on Shabbos. But since over here it's not destructive, it's constructive, you're tearing it just in order to be able to sew it up in a better fashion, then if he tears the two stitches with the intentions of then sewing two stitches, that is the melacha of kireya, of tearing, and he's chayev on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Ki also Reb Yitzchok, when Reb Yitzchok came from Eretz Yisrael to Bovel, Tony, he said the following. He was quoting Reb Eliezer, and when quoting Reb Eliezer, he said Shtayim, that you're chayev on Shabbos for weaving just two threads. Asks the Gemara of Anantanan Gimel, but in the Mishnah we see Reb Eliezer says that you're only chayev on Shabbos if you weave three threads. Loi Kashya, says the Gemara, ha be'alimi, ha be'ktini. There's a difference between whether they are thick threads or whether they are thin threads. Omri lo lahai gisa, v'omri lo lahai gisa. Some explain it one way, others explain it another way. Omri lo lahai gisa, some explain it one way, alimi, the thicker threads, klasa loi sosri. If you weave three threads, they will not get unravelled, and therefore you're chayev. Tray, however, if you have the thicker threads and you only weave twice, two threads, then sosri, they will become unravelled. It's not called a significant melacha, you will not be chayev. Ktini, however, the thin threads, tre nami loy sosri, even two threads will not get unravelled, and therefore you're chayev. V'omri lo lahai gisa, and some say the other way around. Ktini, the thin threads, tlasa yudi. When you've woven three threads, only then it's noticeable. Threads are very thin. We're talking about ktini, small, thin threads. Thin threads, if you have less than three threads, it's not even a noticeable melacha, it's not significant. Trei lo yodi, two of them are insignificant. Therefore, you're only chayev if you weave three threads. Alimi, however, if the threads are thicker, trei nami yodi, then even just weaving two threads are noticeable, it's significant, and you'll be chayev. Continues the Gemara Tanya we learnt in a Braisa. Ha'oireg gimel chutin b'tchila. Somebody who weaves three threads at the beginning, on the outset of his of a new project of the fabric. Ve'echod ala oreg, or if he weaves a single thread on an already existing fabric, chayev is going to be chayev. And that's exactly what we saw in our Mishnah from Reb Eliezer. V'chachomim oimrim, bein b'tchila, bein b'soiv, shi'uron beis chutin, like the Chachomim in our Mishnah, irrespective of whether it's the beginning of a new fabric or whether it's a continuation of an existing fabric, you're chayev if you weave two threads. Continues the Braisa, u'b'sofo beis chutin, on the edges of the on the length, on the warp threads, on the outer edge of the of this material, of the fabric that you're sewing, they would sometimes have a little bit of different threads, a different color, different type of threads for the for on the margin. And there, beis chutin, if you weave through them even just two chutin, two threads, you're already chayev. I'm not sure exactly how this works. I'm not sure how you can just weave two threads, but either way, that's what the Gemara says. Baroichav gimel botinirin. If you weave two threads and you've been through three botinirin, as we said before, three hedel eyes, that means you up and down. You've got a botinirin of the eyes pulling the odd ones up and the even ones down. The even ones up, the odd ones down. So if you take two, if you weave two threads with the weft and you're going through the these borderline, these border warp threads, just three botinir and the width of three of these hedl eyes, that's when you're chayev. Ha'ol mozeh doime. What is this compared to? Why should you be chayev on Shabbos? It's so narrow. It's only the width of three hedl eyes. That's hardly significant. It's compared la'oireg tziltzul cotton. It's similar to weaving a very thin belt, and that's called a melacha, and he's chayev. Beis chutin baroichav gimel botinirin. And you're chayev if you just weave two threads through three warp threads, which are the three botinirin, you're already chayev. That's the end of the braisa. Says the Gemara, v'ho'irei gimel chutin b'tchilo, v'echod al orig chayev. The braisa that started off, without mentioning any names, just said that at the beginning of a project of weaving, of making a fabric, is three threads, and after adding on to an existing one, it's just one thread, stoma k'Reb Eliezer. It seems that the stoma of the braisa was like Reb Eliezer in our Mishnah. Tani yedoch, there's another braisa. Ha'oireg beis chutin al hagas. Somebody who weaves two threads, al hagas, on a large woven fabric. You already have a fabric and you're just adding on two threads. Va'al ha'imra, or, and this is a border, before we mentioned a border on the, going along the length of the material, the edges of the warp threads. Now we're talking about the first waft threads, the horizontal threads. That's called the imra, the border. And it says there, if you just make on the border, which had a different type of thread, if you just thread two threads on an imra, which is right at the beginning, you're starting a project, chayev yochayev. So you see here that both al-hagas, on an existing woven fabric, or al-imra, which is on the border at the start, yochayev for two threads. Rabbi Eliezer says, afilu echod, that if it's already an existing, if a fabric, then just one thread is enough. That's Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah. Ubasafa shnei chutim, baroichav shloisha, botinirin chayev. And here Rabbi Eliezer is adding in the halacha that we saw before in the name of the Chachomim. It seems they're not arguing with this detail, that on the edges of the length of the fabric, on the warp threads, on the edges, that it was a different type of thread, and they're just weaving twice through three of these heddle eyes, three of these threads, is already chayev. Holomoze doimela oirek tiltul cotton. It's similar to just weaving a very thin belt. Shnei chutin al roichav gimel botinirin. If you have two threads that you're weaving through across the warp threads that are held in three botinirin, you're chayev. That's the end of the second brisa. The Gemara says, from the fact that the brisa started, ha'oirig beis chitin al hagas, v'alo imro chayev, from the very fact that the brisa started, that you're chayev for two threads if it's adding on to an existing fabric, or two threads at the beginning, at the border, at the beginning of a new fabric, and doesn't say any names, stam karabonon. That means the stam author of the brisa is like the Chachomim in our Mishnah, and that's what they hold, that irrespective of whether you're starting a fabric or continuing a fabric, the amount of threads you have to weave through in order to be chayev is just two threads. Continues the Gemara. Ha'oise beis botinirin. We saw in the Mishnah that if you set two of these heddle eyes, just setting the threads in the heddle eyes on Shabbos, yochayev. And the Mishnah says, in what settings? Benirin, bekirus, benapa, bechabora, ubasal, chayev. Asks the Gemara, my benirin, what is this benirin? Omar Abaya, tarte bova niro, v'techoda benira. What Rashi seems to explain is as follows. This frame that we discussed before, that they had this frame on which the threads were hanging down, and on that, those vertical threads, there would be a loop, and in that loop, they would hold the warp threads, and that way the warp threads would, number one, stay in position, and number two, he would be able to raise and lower the odd and even threads accordingly. So one of the methods that they would use is, it wouldn't be a sophisticated frame. There would just be a rod on top hanging, and then they would loop around the rod. It would just have one single thread that would be looped down till it reaches the first of these warp threads. He'll circle the warp thread twice, and then, like circling it, holding it, so to speak, and then he'll take this one thread and go back up to the rod, come back over the rod, come back down to thread number three and do the same, go round it twice and go back up, and then thread number five, etc. And that's how they would have this one rod that was holding this thread that was going round and round, holding all the odd threads. And then they would have this another rod like this holding the even ones, and that's how they could maneuver all these warp threads. So the Gemara says that when the Mishnah says that making two such heddle eyes on Shabbos is chayev beniron. Beniron means tarta beboti nira v'choda benira. If you're going twice around the warp thread, which is called the boti nira, which is the heddle loops, and then once over benira onto the heddle, onto the rope, the heddle rope holding this whole contraption, that's your chayev if you do that on Shabbos. Bekirus, what's the kirus? We saw in the Mishnah that if you set two loops, two heddle eyes in a contraption called the Kirus. What is that? Maiba Kirus. Omarav Mutsuvisa. This is a heddle frame, similar to what we said before, where it's not just a rod and a single thread that was going round, holding, being curled round each of the threads that we just explained. Rather, it was a frame, and going from the top to the bottom of the frame were threads with loops in the middle, and they would thread the warp threads through the loops. Each thread had its own hole. So threading, setting these warp threads through two of these heddle eyes in this frame, the heddle frame, that is called, that is going to be chayev on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, v'atoifer beis tfira, somebody who sews two stitches on Shabbos is chayev. Asks the Gemara, v'atonina b'avis melochis, v'atoifer beis tfira. We already learned earlier in the Mishnah that tells us all the melochis, we saw in the Mishnah that sewing two stitches is chayev. What are you coming to add here in this Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Mishum de Kaboya lemisna sefer, Vakirea almanos litfer beis tfirais. Since the Mishnah wants to continue to tell us the Chiddush, that tearing with the intentions of sewing two stitches, then you chayev for the tearing, Ktoni nami hatoifer, the Mishnah preempts that by saying that sewing two stitches is chayev, but there's no Chiddush in that part of the Mishnah. Asks the Gemara Vakirea, Honami Tanina Ba'ovis Melochis. This that you're chayev for tearing on Shabbos with the intentions of sowing is also mentioned in a previous Mishnah. Elo Mishum de Kaboya Lemisna Sefer Hakirea Bechamosoi. Since the next Mishnah is going to speak to us about somebody who tears a cloth in anger, in rage, V'almoisoi, or because he's in pain over somebody who died, Mishum Hachuk Tonya Toifer Shtei Tfirais, and that's why it mentions here, because it's going to mention tearing out of rage, in the next Mishnah it mentions here tearing in order to sow, and if it mentions tearing in order to sow, it also mentions the halacha of sowing. Continues the Gemara, V'akiria Almanos Litfer Shtei Tfirais. The Mishnah said that if you tear in order to make two stitches to repair the tear, yochayev, heicha mishkachas lo, in what case would it find that a person would want to tear something in order to make two stitches? Says the Gemara, de avda beikista, when he first wove or sewed his garment, then there were folds in it, and it was as if there were pockets protruding. It wasn't smooth, and he wanted to smooth it out. So he would make a tear where the fold was, and then he would re-sew it, it would be straight, and that's called tearing with the intent of re-sewing, and that's when he's chayev. Continues the next Mishnah. Hakirea b'chamosoi, if somebody tears a garment because in rage, he's angry. V'almoisoi, or if he tears it because he's upset, he's depressed, he's sad about somebody who passed away. V'chola mekalklin, and all those, any melocha done that is destructive, and there's no constructive reason, he's not causing any benefit or improvement by what he's doing, he's just destroying, pturim, he's potter. V'amekalkil almanos l'sakin, but when you destroy something with the intentions of fixing it, of repairing it, then shi'uroi kemasakin, then as we saw before regarding the tearing and the sewing, then the measure of that you're going to be chayev for the destructive melacha is going to be the same measure as the constructive one that you're going to do to repair it. Continues the Mishnah, shi'ur hamelabin, the amount of thread or material that you have that you have to do the following melachas: hamalabin, to whiten; hamanapis, to disentangle; hatzevea, to dye; vatove, to spin. How long does the thread, or how much thread do you need to be chayev for those melachas? Kimloi roichav hesit kofel, the amount of thread that, which is the same length as a sit, double a sit. How much is a sit? The amount of distance between a person's index finger and his middle finger when they are completely spread apart, double that. V'ho'irig shnei chutin, somebody who weaves two threads, shi'uroi kemeloi hasit, then the length of the thread that you weave has to be a single sit. The distance between his index finger and his middle finger when they are spread apart. Now, even though the Mishnah says that you're only chayev if you weave the width of the fabric that you're trying to weave, and we're talking here about passing the weft through the warp threads And it's enough, even if you don't go all the way to the end, the whole width of the fabric, you just go the amount of a sit, you're chayev. Less than that, you won't be chayev. We have to remember the Gemara we saw in Amud Aleph. There are cases, for example, if you're trying to weave a very thin belt, then even the width of three botinirin, three hedl eyes, is wide enough, and you'll also be chayev. But when you were talking about a regular piece of fabric that you're trying to weave, then you have to have woven at least the width of a sit in order to be chayev. And then you have to go that width, as the Mishnah says, two threads. You have to have two waft threads going through these warp threads. Says the Gemara, Uraminu. We're going to ask a question on what we learned in the Mishnah. We saw in the Mishnah that somebody who tears a cloth out of anger or because of somebody who died, that your potter, it's called mekalkel. Nothing constructive comes of it. Asks the Gemara, Hakirea b'chamosoi ube'evloi v'almeisoi chayev. There's a brisa that says that if you tear a cloth in anger or in mourning over a dead person, you're chayev. And v'afal pisha mechalel es ha-shabbos yotso yudei Kriya. So here's adding in another halacha. We know that if somebody dies, then the seven close relatives, that means if either father, mother, brother, sister, son, daughter, or spouse passes away, then one has to tear kriya, one has to rend one's garment. And even so, somebody who tears their garment for a mace, v'al mesoi, then even though he did it on Shabbos, and it's Chilul Shabbos, he's not allowed to do that, nonetheless, he was Yotza. He doesn't need to tear his garment again after Shabbos. But what do we see from here? There's somebody who tears his garment out of rage, or because he's upset about somebody who died, is Chayev. And the Mishnah says he's Potter. Says the Gemara, Loi Kasha. It's not a contradiction. Ha b'meis d'day, ha b'meis d'alma. It depends if it was his mace, if it was one of his seven close relatives, then doing the kriya is not destructive, it's constructive. He needs to do it. He's mechuyev to do kriya, and therefore he's chayev. The Mishnah, however, is not talking about when somebody does kriya, he tears his clothes because of his own mace, he's doing it because somebody else died. Then that's not constructive, that's destructive, and therefore he's potter. Asks the Gemara, v'hamesoi k'toni. If you look in the Mishnah, the very Mishnah that says your potter says hakirea b'chamosoi v'al meisoi on his mace. So that seems that even though we're talking about somebody who does kriya for one of his own seven relatives, and nonetheless he's going to be potter, and that contradicts the brisa. Why should he be potter? He's mechuyev to do kriya. So why should he be potter? Says the Gemara, lo'olam b'meis didei. You're right. Both the Mishnah and the Braisa are both talking about the types of relatives that are close to you and that you are required to take care of the mace, to make sure they get buried, etc. Ubahanoch delav bnei avelus ninu. And when it says in the Mishnah that his potur is talking about relatives that are not one of the seven relatives, a little bit of a more distant relative, it's still his relative, and it's called Meisoi, but and he's required to take care of this dead person. However, he's not got a chiyuv, a requirement to do kriya. Since he doesn't have a chiyuv, doing kriya is called destruction, and therefore he's going to be potter. Continues the Gemara, v'ichochem hu, however, if the person that passed away was a chochem, was a very wise person, then, or he was a teacher, he was a rebbe, chiyuva Michaev. In that case, whoever was learning from that Chochem, it depends on what caliber of Chochem, we're not going into that now, it's other places in Shas, but if a Chochem passes away, then the person is Mechuyev, even if it's not one of the seven relatives of the Chochem, he's Mechuyev to tear Kriya, and obviously if he tears Kriya on Shabbos, he's going to be Chayev. The Tanya we saw, because we learned in a Braisa, Chochem Shemes, if a Chochem passes away, Hakel Kroivov, everybody is compared to a relative. Asks the Gemara, Hakel Kroivov, everybody's a relative? Solka Daitoch, is that what you thought? Elohim Hakel Kekroivov, they are similar, they have the same halachas as a relative that you're mechuyev to do kriya. Hakel Kirin Olov, everybody does kriya, they tear their clothes, when a chacham passes away, hakel chiltzin olav. It was a custom at the time that when they would follow the mace, they would tear their garments and expose their shoulders, and they would all go out with an exposed shoulder. Hakel mevarin olav berchovo. The halacha is that an oval, somebody who's one of his seven relatives have just passed away, that we learn from Psukim by Yecheskel, that the first meal, he's not allowed to eat from his own food. Somebody else has to give him the food. And the custom was they would eat that first meal outside in the rechava, in the public. And when a chacham passes away, everybody fits this bracket and everybody eats their first suda outside. Says the Gemara, Loi tzricha de loi chacham hu. The Mishnah that says potter indeed is not talking about when a chacham passed away. If a chacham passed away, he's going to be chayev. Says the Gemara, Vi adam kosher hu. If he was just a kosher person, a good person, chiyuv mechayev, then everyone is chayev to tear kriya on him. The Tanya, as we learnt in a brisa, mipnei ma meisim bonov ubnoisov shel adam kashem ktanim. Why do people's children die when they are very young? And when they're young, they're completely kosher, they're completely pure and clean, never done an avera. In kadesha yivke v'yisabil al adam kosher, in order to give people the opportunity, or the parents the opportunity, to cry over somebody kosher that passed away, therefore young innocent people pass away. Asks the Gemara, Kadesha Yivke Irvoino Shoklimine, just because you want the parents or whoever it is to cry, that's why you're taking away these young innocent people. There must have been some punishment. People don't just die young for no reason. As a punishment for not crying when a kosher person passed away, because when a person cries over, he sheds a tear over a kosher person that passes away, then all his averes are forgiven, also because of the respect that he gave to this kosher person. And as a punishment for not doing that, a person's children will die young and innocent, and then he'll have reason to cry over an innocent and kosher person. So in our Mishnah that says that if you do kriya, your potter, if for every kosher person, you're chayev to do kriya. What's the Mishnah talking about? Loi tzricha delav adam kosher hu. The Mishnah must be talking about that it's not talking about somebody who's got the title of adam kosher, a kosher person. Continues the Gemara, V'i dekoi b'sha'as yitzias neshama. If a person is present when any other yid passes away, chiyuv mechayev, he's chayev to do kriya. There's a question in the poskim whether we do this today, but according to the Gemara, he's chayev to do kriya. The Tanya we saw in a brayser, but Shimon ben Elozo Omer, ha'oimed al ha'meis, somebody who's standing by a person who's dying, b'sha'as yitzias neshama, when his neshama, when his soul leaves him, chayev likroya, he's chayev to do kriya. Why? Because the neshama of a yid leaving him is compared to a sefer Torah shenisrafa. It's like a sefer Torah which is getting burnt. So our Mishnah is talking about that says that you're potter. When you're potter, if you're there when somebody passed away, you have to do kriya. If you have to do kriya, it's not destructive, it's constructive. You should be chayev. Says the Gemara, loy tzricha deloy koi b'shas yitzias neshama. The Mishnah is talking about somebody who did kriya when in the case that he was not present when the person passed away. Says the Gemara, tinach meisai. I can understand how you've answered the original contradiction between somebody who does kriya because of a dead person, if you're chayev or potter. If you're chayev to do kriya, then it's constructive, then you're chayev on Shabbos. And if you're not chayev to do kriya, then it's destructive, and doing it on Shabbos, you'll be potter. Aval elo chamosoi achamosoi kashya. We have another contradiction, and that's a person that is tearing his clothes in anger. In the Mishnah, it says, akareya b'chamosoi, he's engaging in destructive behavior. Potter, that's not called a significant melacha on Shabbos. However, in the Braisa we saw that somebody who does kriya b'chamosoi is chayev. How are we going to answer that contradiction? Says the Gemara, chamosoi achamosoi nami loi kashya. It's not a contradiction, we can explain it. Ha, Rabbi Yehuda, Horeb Shimon. Reb Yehuda holds that he's chayev, and it's Reb Shimon who says that he's potter. What does that mean? The Gemara is going to explain. Rabbi Yehuda de Omar Melocha She'ein Tzricha Legufa. Chayev Oleo. Rabbi Yehuda says he's chayev like in the Braisa. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda says that even if a Melocha is Einot Tzricha Legufa, that means the activity itself is destructive. You're not making any improvement. For example, you're tearing the clothes, you're destroying the clothes. You're not improving the clothes in any way. You're not benefiting the clothes in any way. You're not repairing the clothes in any way. That's called a melacha she'eina tzricha legufa. However, since it's got a good reason otherwise, you can still be chayev. So Rabbi Yehuda says melacha she'ein tzricha legufa. Nonetheless, chayev aleha. That's the Braisa who says Chayev. Horeb Shimon, the Mishnah that says Potur, is Reb Shimon, de Omer, Melocha She'ein Tzricha Legufa, Potur Oleo. The Mishnah is going according to Reb Shimon, and Reb Shimon holds that a Melocha you only Chayev if there was something constructive, there was something that benefited the actual Melocha you were doing, not that there was a side benefit. Says the Gemara, Eimed Deshamas Leil Reb Yehuda. When does Rabbi Yehuda say that a melacha she'einot tzricha legufa, there's no benefit for itself, that you're chayev, but masakin, that's only if it's rectifying it some other place, if you're doing something positive, if something is going to be improved, benefited because of it. But mekalkil, if all you're doing is destroying, you're taking a clothes, you're taking a garment, you're tearing it, you're not chayev, you're tearing it because you're angry, because you're annoyed, you're in a rage, that's kilkel. And mekalkel, we saw in the Mishnah, kol ha-mekalkel is pturim. Mekalkel mishomasli, omer ba'ovin, hai nami masakin hu. When somebody tears their garments in anger, there's also some type of tikkun here. There's something to be gained from it. De ka'ovid nachas ruach le'yitzrei. He satisfies his Yetzirah, he diminishes the effects of his Yetzirah. He's angry. The Yetzirah made him angry. Tearing his clothes is benefiting him that he can now calm down from his anger. And since, even though it's Einu Tzricha Legufa, the clothes itself is not benefiting, but since the person himself is benefiting from it, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's going to be Chayev. Ask the Gemara, Ochahai Gavna Mishori, is it Mutter to tear one's clothes out of anger? Just because it's helping you calm down from your anger, to the extent that according to Rabbi Yehuda you're going to be chayev, it's called constructive in any way. Let's see what the Braisa has to say about somebody who calms down from his rage by tearing his clothes. Let's see whether it's helping the person, whether it's constructive. V'otani we learned in the Braisa. Shimon ben Elozo Imer, Mishum Chilfo Bar Igra, Sha'omar Mishum Rabbi Yechonon ben Nuri, Hamekarea begodov bechamosoi. If somebody tears his clothes in anger, Vamashaber kelov bechamosoi, or somebody breaks his utensils in anger, Vamafazir mo'isov bechamosoi, or somebody scatters his coins, his money, out of anger, Yehei beinecho ko'ivid avodah zarah. It should be in your eyes like somebody who's serving an avodah zarah. Shekach umnusoi shel yetzahara. That's the craft of the Yetzirah. Hayoim omar loy asei kach. Today he tells you, just get angry, just tear your clothes, just do little things. Ulamochor oimer loy asei kach. Tomorrow he'll tell you to do something a bit worse. Ad sheoimer loy avoid avodah zarah. Till at the end he's going to tell you to engage in idolatry, in avodah zarah. And then he's going to go and serve avodah zarah. So somebody who tears his clothes out of rage, he's letting the Yetzirah in. That's clearly destructive. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, how do we understand this? Omer Rav Ovin said, Mikro, where do you find such a thing that the Yetzirah comes and sits inside and waits and slowly makes you do things and to go from bad to worse? Because it says in the Pasuk, Lo yieh v'cho el zor. There should not be in you a strange god, and you should not bow le'il nechor to an alien god. Asks the Gemara, "Ezehu el zor sheyesh begufay shel adam." It says, "Lo yeh b'cha." There shouldn't be in you, so to speak, inside your body. What type of strange god is inside your body? Have oimer is a yitzhara. That's the yitzhara. So we have a question. If tearing your clothes is allowing the Yetzirah into your body and allowing him to slowly take control over you, according to Rabbi Yehuda, then it's destructive. Why are you chayev? Says the Gemara, Loi. Tzricha, I'll tell you when Rabbi Yehuda agrees that tearing one's clothes in anger, so to speak, is a benefit and he'll be chayev. The ka'ovid lemirma emasa a'incha besa. He's doing it just in order to strike fear, to instill fear in the members of his home. Kihod Rav Yehuda. We found a case like that with Rav Yehuda, that sholif matzvaisa. He pulled out the borders of one of his garments. It was a show, it was an act of anger in order to strike fear to the family members, in order that they should do what they had to do and realize that there's authority. Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Tovar Moni Tvira. Rav Acha bar Yaakov was used to breaking broken utensils. Rav Sheshes, Romilo L'amsa. Rav Sheshes, he threw at his maid, Munini Aresha. Onto her head, he threw some fish brine. Rav Abba, Tovar Nachsema. Rav Abba, he broke the lid of a pitcher, and all these chachomim, these big tzaddikim who did this in order to instill fear in the home, they obviously had good reason to do it, and chas v'sholem, no one listening to this shir should start breaking things and smashing things at home. The Gemara tells us that amatil emu yaseira b'soich beisai, we saw this early on in Maseches Shabbos, that it's a very bad thing in order to instill too much fear in the home, but these great chachomim, they knew exactly what they were doing, and they did what they were supposed to do for good reasons. And since in those cases, smashing, tearing, it looks as if it's in anger, but it wasn't the bad anger. In that case, it's not called destructive, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is going to be chayev, and that's pshat in what we said before, that Rabbi Yehuda says he's chayev. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapora. Kol ha-moyre dmois al odom kosher, anyone who sheds tears when a kosher person passes away, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Soifron, Hashem counts the tears, Umanichon Beboti Gnozov, and he puts them, he stores them away in his storehouses. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Noidi, my wanderings, Sofarto, Oto, you have yourself counted, Simo Dimosi Benoidecho, place my tears in your flask, Haloi Besifrosecho, are they not in your account? So you see there that Hashem counts the tears. Which tears, says the Gemara, the tears of somebody who cries over a kosher person. Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Rav, Kol ha-mis'atzil b'speidei shel chochem, anyone who is lazy about giving a hesped, an ology for a chochem, ro'ui l'kovrei b'chayov, is fit to be buried alive. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Vayikburu oisoi, they buried him, b'gvul nachlosoi, on the border of his inheritance, b'simna sorach, in timna sorach, asher b'har Ephraim, which is in Mount Ephraim, Mitzvoin Lahar Goash, on the north of Har Goash, Mount Goash. The word Goash, it might be the name of a mountain, but it also means trembling. Says the Gemara, Melamed Sharoga Shaleim Har Lahurgon. It teaches us that the mountains trembled over them to kill them because they did not give a hesped over Yeshua when Yeshua passed away. Omer Abchia Bar Abba Omer B'Yechanon, Kol ha-mis'atzil b'speidei shel chochem. Anyone who's lazy over giving a hesped for a chochem, einu marich yomim, his days will not be prolonged. Mida keneged mida, this is measure for measure. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, b'saso b'shalcho teriveno. B'saso is a measure with a precise measure. You shall contend with her when you send her away. And the Mefarshim explain exactly how this works, but when it's talking about contending with somebody, then the Pasuk uses the Lashon of Besaso, it's with a measure, with a precise measure, because a person is always, Hashem treats him measure for measure. And therefore, somebody who is not ologizing the Chochem, which means that he doesn't care about the loss of the days of the Chochem, then he himself will not be Marich Yomim, will not have prolonged days. Eisvei Rebchia Bar Abba Rabbi Yechanon. Rebchia Bar Abba asked Rabbi Yechanon the following question. The Pasuk says, Vayavdu ha'omes Hashem koil yomei Yeshua. The nation served Hashem all the days of Yeshua. V'choil yomei azkenim, and all the days of the elders. Which ones are sheherichu yomim achrei Yeshua? Those whose days were prolonged after Yeshua. So you see from here that those that should have ologized, that should have given hesped on Yeshua, they lived long days after Yeshua. You just said now that because they didn't ologize Yeshua, that they were not zeichet to long days. Omaloi, the Gemara says, Bavloi, Yubavloi, Rabchia Barabba, who came from Bovel, Yomim Yarichu, their days were prolonged. Shonim Lo Yarichu, their years were not prolonged, which means that they had good days, they were content with their days, but they didn't have many years. So when the Gemara says that the Zakenim were Yarichu Yomim, they were Marich Yomim, they had fulfilled days, but they didn't have many days. Elo asks the Gemara, Elo Me'ata, are you going to say the same in the Pasuk that we say every day, Leman Yirbu Yomeichem Vimei Venechem, then that if you do the mitzvahs, then your days and the days of your children will be prolonged? Are you also suggesting Yomim Velo Ishanim, it just means that you'll have fulfilled days, but not that you'll have long years? Says the Gemara, Brocha Shaniv. There it's a brocha, it's a blessing. When giving a brocha, of course the brocha means that that person will have longevity, is going to have long years. Continues the Gemara, if one of the brothers died, Yidagu kolo achim kulon, then all the brothers should worry. Why? Because we'll soon see why. Echod mibnei chabura shameis, if one of a group, if one of the members of a group die, then also Yidag tidag kolo chabura kulo, the whole group should worry, maybe they're next in line. Omri lo, demeis godel. Some say that's only if the oldest passes away, the oldest in the group, because we know that Midas Hadin starts with the top, with the head. So when the head passes away, you'd be worried that the Midas Hadin is going to now move on to the next ones. Others say it's when the youngest pass away, because when curse strikes, it first strikes at the younger ones. So when the youngest ones pass away, you know, wow, there's a curse coming here, maybe we're next. And Emir Tashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.